Let us spend some time in prayer. I'm sure you have heard about the news of many lives that are lost in Hong Kong. So let us remember them in prayer. Let us pray together. Father God, we want to thank you. And we want to say a special prayer for the victims of the fire, the blaze in Hong Kong. Lord, we pray for those that have lost their loved ones, that you comfort them. And we pray for the church to arise. And may this tragedy turn people's heart and eyes to the cross and eternity. Your will be done. Lord, even now as we open your word, may you send your Holy Spirit to come and speak to us. We are your sons and daughters who desire to serve you. As we open your word, we pray that your Spirit will speak to us so that we will enthrone Jesus in our lives. We will glorify our Father, and we will walk in step with the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today is the last sermon on servanthood. As you know, our theme for this whole year is on servant leadership. And who is a servant leader? A servant leader is one who influences others. That is a servant leader. And today is the last sermon. And we want to look at the servant who is transformed by the Father. This is a very apt and important topic, because if we are not transformed by the Father, then the whole year's sermon is just by nice talks, nice knowledge. So our prayer for myself, my prayer for myself and for you, is that we be transformed. What if I tell you that God can transform you? What if I tell you that God can transform me? How does God transform his sons and daughters to become servants for his kingdom? Let us open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to verse 10. I'd like to thank the worship team for taking us through a wonderful time of worship, and actually, the message already preached in our worship songs. Do you know that? I'm just reinforcing it by the preaching of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 12, open your Bibles. In verse 5 says, "And have you forgotten or completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son?" It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves. He chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness." How does God transform his servant? Primarily through discipline. Our Heavenly Father disciplines his sons and daughters not to break them, but to transform them into Christ-likeness. I believe all of us understand what being disciplined feels like. When I mention the word discipline, what comes to mind? What comes to mind when you think of discipline? Generally, things that are unpleasant, right? Things that are painful, right? For example, if you want to do well for your examinations, you must be disciplined. Or if you want to succeed in your career, then you must be disciplined. When your alarm clock rings, you get up, you prepare yourself, you turn up at work. Right? You don't put it on snooze and then oversleep, 5 minutes become 2 hours. Yeah, it happened to me before. Huh? 5 minutes more, wow, wake up 2 hours later. And then, because of the lack of discipline. Or if you break the law, you will be punished. That is often how we equate the word discipline. Basically, in short, being disciplined is unpleasant. And we try to avoid it at all costs. Correct? Correct, huh? We live in a pressure cooker society. Students feel the heat of academic excellence. Parents strive for work-life balance. Workers work long hours and push for performance and promotions. Stress plus pressure plus discipline is a terrible formula. And we experience that in our lives day to day. But that is not how God disciplines us. And that is the good news. That is not how God disciplines us. Hebrews chapter 12 reframes discipline for us. Discipline is not about KPI performance. Did God tell you, clean up your act before coming to me? You must be holy. Then I will receive you. No, it's not about KPI. It's not about performing. It is not about being good. Discipline is not about punishment to God. What then is discipline? Discipline is God's way of transforming His children with fatherly love. He is changing us. Our Heavenly Father disciplines His sons and daughters not to break them, but to transform them into Christ-like servants. How should we then view God's discipline? First, God's discipline is a sign of a father's love. Verse 5 to verse 6 says, "And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, 'My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as a son.'" Who does God the Father discipline? God the Father disciplines his own son and daughter. The writer actually quotes Proverbs chapter 3. "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when he reproves you, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves." God disciplines those he loves and he cares for. When we discipline our children, parents, we discipline our children as a sign of care, not neglect. A neglected child will not be disciplined because the parents are not present. Likewise, God's discipline is proof of our adoption. God loves us, and therefore he disciplines us. Think of National Service or NS. Training is tough, but the goal is to strengthen and not harm. No commander will train the enemy, but only sons of Singapore gets trained. No parent will discipline the children of others, right? We don't go to the shopping mall and we see a disobedient child and then we end up disciplining the child. The police will be called. And we do not need strangers to discipline our children, right? We must discipline our own children. In the same way, God disciplines his children as proof of belonging. We should not be disciplined by the world. We should not be discipled also by the world. Our Heavenly Father disciplines his sons and daughters not to break them, but to transform them into Christ-like servant. Discipline can also be viewed as a process of transformation. Verse 7 says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? This passage says, God is treating you as sons and daughters. And we all have earthly fathers who discipline us and we respect them for it. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Discipline is a process of transformation. It is not a one time. When a child climbs up to the chair and then climbs up to the table and begin to jump, if you are the parent, what will you do? What will you do? You will discipline the child, right? How will you discipline the child? You call out to the child, Leonard, please come down, right? And guess what? If the child comes down, it's all fine and good. But if the child doesn't come down, then you raise your voice, right? Leonard, come down now, right? And if he comes down, fine and good. Why do we do that? Because we do not want our child to fall down and die. Right? And if the child still does not come down, what will you do? You carry the child down to the floor. And guess what? Will the child remain there? After a while, the child will try his luck again. He will climb up again. I mean, that's how children behave, right? Children of God, that's how we behave too, right? Right or not? And then, finally, what happens? As a parent, you will carry the child and give the child a spank. Why? Because you want the child to live, not die. It is for the good of a child. It takes a long process. And that is how God deals with us, isn't it? The purpose of God's discipline is transformation, so that there's change, so that we know what is danger, so we know what is good and bad, what is good and evil, what is God's way and what is the evil way. And we learn that through God's discipline. We read the Bible. We allow the Spirit to stir our hearts. Get a little bit uncomfortable, right? That is part of the discipline process. God speaking to us in a still small voice. And then, hopefully we obey. Otherwise, if we continue to persist, God one day will carry us and give us a spank. And hopefully, we learn the lesson. Otherwise, the process will have to continue. The purpose of God's discipline is transformation. From stubbornness to surrender. From selfishness to servanthood. Unlike earthly discipline, which may be imperfect or even harsh, God's discipline is perfect and always for His glory and for our good. Sounds familiar? Sounds like the song that we sang, right? For His glory and our good. Only God's discipline can achieve His glory and our good. We live in a society that expects fast results. Same day delivery. Instant coffee. instant noodles, seamless public transport, MRT trains on time, and must be fast. That is the society that we are living in. Everything must be fast. In your work, you must produce and produce fast. Sometimes your boss will tell me, or your boss will tell you, when you ask him, when do you need this? What he tells you? Yesterday. That is how fast he wants it, right? Because there's so many things to do. When must I deliver? And the deadline sometimes is impossible. This is the society that we live in. Fast results. Sad to say, this has crept in also into our Christian life. We also expect fast results. You know, today I receive Jesus, tomorrow I must be holy. Friends, it doesn't happen. Okay? Have more patience on yourself. Don't think too highly of yourself. Okay? We are not so fast learners. Okay? I read the Bible today, tomorrow I understand. Friends, it takes a process. And how do we understand God's word? By putting it into practice. When you put it into practice, you will understand. If you try to understand it with just your head, usually very tough and you will forget. God's discipline is not instant. It is long obedience in the same direction. Sound familiar? Long obedience in the same direction. Because our past sermon series, you have heard this before. Long obedience in God's direction. It is a process. It is a process and it is a shaping process. The servant of God must therefore embrace the process, not just think of shortcuts and look at the results. It is not instantaneous. It is a process. Think of Singapore hawker food. How many of you like char kway teow like me? Char kway teow. Quite a few. Huh? What is a good plate of char kway teow? A good plate of char kway teow must have not ham, but wok hei. Wok hei means you must have the slightly burnt taste, you know. The wok hei doesn't come from shortcut. The wok hei comes because of time and going through the fire. The hawker must be tossing the noodles and burning it. Then you can get the wok hei. If not, your char kway teow will taste like the morning char kway teow. You know the economic bihun kind of char kway teow? No wok hei one. In the same way, okay, in the same way, Christ's likeness is cultivated through fire, through pressure, and through time. It doesn't happen overnight. Our Heavenly Father disciplines His sons and daughters not to break us, but to transform us into Christ-like servants. Embrace the process. Don't give up. You will not be broken. God's grace is sufficient for you. We also should be looking at discipline that yields the fruit of holiness. How does one become holy? When we become more Christ-like. Verse 10 says, they, referring to our earthly fathers, discipline us for a little while, as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in His holiness. And this is the climax. He disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. God's ultimate comfort, God's ultimate goal for us is not comfort. Why do I say that? Because many Christians think that when we become a Christian, we will be comfortable. Because God will be on my side. My life will be smooth sailing. Everything will fall at the right place, at the right time for me. The ultimate goal for God is not comfort. What then is the ultimate goal for God? For our transformation. It is Christ-like character. Christ-likeness is God's ultimate goal for transforming us. God's goal for us is holiness. What is holiness? Holiness means that we are set apart and we have been transformed for His service. That is holiness. Not just an absence of sin. True sons and daughters are servants, not defined by their achievements, but by their resemblance to Jesus. I say that again. True sons and daughters are servants, not defined by their achievements, but by their resemblance to Jesus. If God's goal is holiness, can you achieve that? Cannot, right? I think all of us have tried, right? But fall short, right? Because that is not God's goal. By our own effort, by our own achievement, God doesn't measure us by our achievements. What have you achieved? What have I achieved? I mean, I look back at my 7.5 years here in QBC. What have I achieved? Nothing much, eh? Nothing much. I just show up. I just do what God wants me to do. Am I more of a son now or less of a son? No difference, right? So our achievements is not a measurement of who we truly are. But our resemblance defines us. We should ask ourselves, am I more Christ-like? Have I grown in Christ-likeness? Have I grown in holiness? Am I able to serve God better now after 7.5 years? So let's apply this in our lives. Students and parents, don't see challenges in studies or disappointment in results as God abandoning you. God is still there. God is still present in your life. But look at it that He's training you in resilience and faith and perseverance. Working adults, workplace challenges, setbacks, missed promotions, maybe God's way of forming humility in us, perseverance, and integrity. After 2 missed promotion exercises, are you tempted to cut corners? Are you tempted to now curry your boss's favor? Are you tempted to compromise your integrity? My prayer is that you won't, that you will continue to persevere and exercise integrity. Christians, there will be ministry struggles. All of us, as we serve, there will be struggles. There will be criticism. There will be burnout. There will be slow growth. Sometimes even no growth. Don't be discouraged. That is part of God's discipline. When that happens, maybe it is God's way of making us less of ourselves, making us more about Him, so that we will decrease and He will increase. The servant of God is not destroyed by discipline, but transformed by the Father into holiness and service. All this preaching may sound very abstract to you, right? I felt the Lord asking me to share my testimony because I have been transformed by God's loving discipline over the years into who I am today. As I look back in my own life, there are a few significant milestones. I came to know the Lord when I was 14 years old. After a few years in church, I backslided. I thought that I'm being shortchanged. I must go and enjoy life. So 17 years old, I stopped attending church for 2 years. Went back to the world, backslided. If you see me, you won't know that I'm a Christian to that extent. The Lord disciplined me. The process, you already know. Through His still small voice, through gentle persuasions from the church leaders. And I can even tell the pastor, "Pastor, stop wasting time on me. Use your time and go and share the gospel to those who are unbelievers. I am a child of God. I will come back to God when it is time. Now is not the time. Now I want to enjoy life." 17 years old. The Lord broke my hand, made me allergic to painkillers. In my desperation, I cried out to God, "God, you deliver me. You deliver me, and I won't play the fool with you anymore." That is a very big spanking. Allergic to painkillers is no joke. You know these two bones, the chicken wing? 6 pieces. A piece of metal, 6 screws inside it. Stitched up. And I have to bear with the pain. Back then, in the 80s, I was given morphine. They will wheel the whole cylinder of morphine. Not the jab. Not the measured neural jab like we have today. They will wheel the whole cylinder of morphine next to my bed. And then I will put on a mask and I will breathe in the morphine. Morphine only good for 2 hours, no pain. After that, the remaining 4 hours, I will have pain. And it is through this process that I came back to the Lord. So every time I see the picture of, you know, the shepherd carrying the sheep, the naughty sheep that he has broken the leg, it's a pictorial, it's a visual of me on the shepherd's shoulder. I returned to the Lord and I vowed not to play the fool with him anymore. Long story short, when I was 26 years old, I responded to God's full-time call. The full-time call came in the form of a kindergarten cleaner. The pastor one day, I was a lay leader, because all the deacons are very old, so they wanted me to stand for election as deacon. I say, "I cannot, I'm not old enough." All of them above 50 years old, all got white hair one. I down here, 26, 25, cannot. But he very kind, he say, "You just come in as observer, you know. Don't have to be deacon, no? You can speak like any one of us, you know. I give you permission to speak and contribute and so on." So one day he called me, he said, "Leonard, you know the cleaner that we employed for the kindergarten didn't show up for work today. And the administrator also didn't show up for work today. He said, why don't you come and serve as the cleaner?" I was very intrigued because just now the sum, better is one day in the house of God than 1,000 elsewhere, right? Remember that sum? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my Lord. So I had this in mind. It's all right, you know, I can go and be cleaner. And that was how I started my ministry in God's kingdom. As a kindergarten cleaner. Hey, you must understand this. I don't clean my own toilet one. I don't even cook. In my father's house, I don't even bring the cup to the kitchen one. Because I got maid. But here am I do not know, innocently or otherwise, you know, God told me, go and serve him. So when Jennifer came back from work that night, we discussed, and then she said, go lo. Maybe she want to tekan me. So I went. You know, the pastor was very kind. He put two jobs into one, you know, trying to minimize my pay cut. Right? But the church leadership was very wise. The church leadership said, cannot. This is two persons' work. Leonard cannot cope. Just make him the administrator. And I agreed. I'll be the administrator. Don't worry about the pay cut, because when I say yes to God, I'm already ready to take the pay cut. And that was how I started. After 4 years as the church administrator, the church sent me to Bible college at age 30. And then I came back to the church as a preacher of the gospel at age 34. 6 years later, at age 40, I had to leave the church. After 26 years, going through the whole process, I had to leave the church with a lot of sadness, because that is my home. Every time a pastor leaves a church, is with a lot of pain. I remember when I left the church, I was so broken that I went to study counseling in SBC. This was in year 2010. Pastor Kofen was also a student there. Different course. But I went for counseling because I was so broken. I need to be counseled. I was so angry with pastor, you know. I say I want to be a good counselor so that I can teach pastors how to counsel. Long story short. 2nd month into my full-time studies, God called me to join the Presbyterian Church. 4 years later, I was ordained and I became senior pastor of my previous church. You thought, wow, vindication, huh? God never shortchanged you, right? You thought, wow, happy ever after, right? No. That was a difficult church to pastor. But thank God, God sent Pastor Peter, and I was mentored by him together with Pastor Isaac. 4 years later, I left wounded and joined QBC as your English pastor, playing second violin to first Pastor Peter and now Pastor Isaac. Again, I thought this would be a happy ending, right? Because I sensed that God told me 55 years old, significant milestone. In August, I turned 55. When I first joined QBC, I told Pastor Peter and Pastor Isaac, 55 years old, I will retire. I think you have heard from me before also, right? 55, I will retire. I thought this is a good time to retire. At the peak of my career, you know, quit while you are still at your peak, and people remember you that way. Find a successor and then retire. How nice. But God had other plans for my life. You see, I have my own desire. I have wanted my own comfort. I wanted to retire and enjoy life. Because I got married while I was 24, I have my first child at 26. I want to retire early and enjoy life. Because in my early 20s, I never enjoyed life. So while I'm still healthy, I want to see the world, you know. I want to spend time with my wife, now that the children have grown up. But God gave a Macedonian call from the Singapore Baptist Convention for me to serve as executive director. This is a curveball. Friends, I have struggled with this decision for the past 1 year. Should I stubbornly retire Or should I surrender? Do I consider my own comfort and selfishness, or should I consider servanthood for God's kingdom? If it is you, how will you decide? This decision to transit wasn't an easy one to make because I love QBC. I came here wounded, broken. QBC, you think I came here to serve QBC very well? No, God used QBC to heal me, to mend my wounds, to give me hope of what a church can be. Yes, I served you. I was there with you through the thick and the thins, through the highs and the lows. But as I serve QBC, you also served me. God restored me. I serve happily with my friends. Pastor Isaac is not just my senior pastor. He's not just my boss, you know. He is my friend. This decision to transit, it's like abandoning my best friend. Not easy. I serve with a good team of pastors. We serve very well together. I want to continue in this way. Find a replacement and retire. And be remembered that way. Well done, good and faithful servant. I'm sure you will say that of me. But will God say that of me if I were to retire? That is my desire. The words of a very respected QBC deacon hit me hard when he said this. He said, QBC needs you, but the Baptist Convention needs you more. This is a deacon that loves QBC. And hearing it from him hit home. Having served 3 years as the vice chairman of the convention, deep down I know what he meant. I must respond in Christ-like fashion to serve God's kingdom and not my own selfish comfort. So here I stand as a servant, surrendered and transformed by the Father, to do his bidding for the Baptist denomination and his kingdom. Friends, I humbly say this. God is no man's debtor. If you are willing to be a doorkeeper, if you are willing to be a servant, the Lord will exhort you. Who am I? Who am I that God should use to be the executive director of the Baptist Convention? I know that you love me. Please remember me in your prayers. Serving 37 churches will not be easy. I'm not a novice. I know what I'm getting into. And therefore, the struggle for 1 year. So come January, I will still be serving alongside with you here in QBC, but not as your English pastor, but as a fellow member. Okay? In a different capacity. I have given my word to my good friend, Pastor Isaac. I will avail myself to serve QBC in whatever way he deems fit. If he calls upon me, if I'm available, I will serve. He wants me to teach PMC, I will be there. He wants me to do marriage mentoring, I will be there. Whatever he wants me to do, if I'm available, I will do it. I will be one of you still. Okay, so don't have to feel sad. But pray together as a congregation that God will send an English pastor that is better than me. Okay? You deserve the best. In conclusion, through my years of journeying and experiencing God, I have experienced this. Our Heavenly Father disciplines His son and daughters not to break them, but to transform them into Christ-like servants. I have been transformed by the Father. Understand this. God is not a harsh taskmaster. He is your loving Heavenly Father. His discipline is not rejection. His discipline is adoption. You are His son and daughter. His goal is not punishment. His goal is transformation. So let us not despise His discipline, but embrace it, knowing it produces holiness, it produces maturity, and it produces a true servant's heart of Christ. So as God, our Heavenly Father, disciplines you, remember that it is not to break you, but to transform you into Christ-likeness. Let us spend some time in prayer. And as we reflect on these questions on the screen, remember a time when did God discipline grow you? All of us are being disciplined by God. If you are not disciplined by God, check whether you are His son or daughter. How would you respond the next time you are disciplined by God? Worship team. After some time of reflection, the worship team will lead us in the response song.